Yo, what up, my beautiful podcast people? It's your boy B-I-G-A-N-T back with another episode of the Can I Kick a Podcast. Today we have a very special guest, my podcast brother and himself. I got my boy Jam stopping by the podcast. We're going to be talking about way too much to even just give you guys a rundown. We're going to be touching on a whole bunch of stuff. And we also, starting with Jam, we're going to be incorporating a new segment called Ask the Podcaster, where he actually flips the script and asks me some questions instead of the other way around. So if you're new, we appreciate you. And if you've been rocking with us, we appreciate you even more. Let's get to the podcast. See you in there. Peace. What's going on, everybody? It's your boy B-I-G-A-N-T. Welcome back to the Can I Kick a Podcast. Today's guest, I got none other than my boy Jam. Say what's up, everybody, big homie.
Yo, and what up, bro? How you been, man? I know it's been a long time coming since the last one, bro. I was looking forward to this.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I was running through the guests, and it started all last week with Kato, and I noticed that a lot of people haven't been back to the podcast. So I was like, you know what? Let me go holler at Jam and see what the hell Jam's been up to. So I just want to say thank you for stopping by, obviously. But it's always good to have my podcast brethren with me. So we have a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of stuff in common. So it should be a very, very dope episode.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. Definitely been looking forward to this. Like I said, man, you know, a lot of things have transpired since the last time we spoke. So, you know, it's gonna be a good combo, man.
Yeah, like you said in pre-podcast, you said it's been, because like I said, you and Kato's first episode were around the same time. Let me search the handy dandy iPhone real quick, because Kato was like 20, let's see here. Kato was episode 7, May 26th of 2020. And you were episode, let's see, where are we at? You were episode 18 in season 2, July 8th of 2020. So roughly around the same time. So it has been a almost a year for the both of you. So we got some catching up to do. But before we do all that, let me get out the sponsorships out the way. Kush Gang, KushGang.com. Use my coupon code KICKIT10. That's KICKIT number 10 to get 10% off your next order. You guys know the vibes. Shirts, hoodies, face masks, backpacks. They got new designs, all kinds of colors. Support your boys. They support the podcast. Tell somebody you love them. Yeah. Okay, so now we got the politics out of the way. How have you been? How have you been, man, is the question.
Man, I've been good, man. You know, thankfully, man, since the last time we spoke, bro, I was suppressing a lot of shit. I mean, I think I talked about it briefly, how I was going through some shit with my previous employer. But yeah, man, life has gotten so much better, bro. You know, I got a way better job, man. Things are smoother. You know, it's getting closer to my wedding time, which is coming like in December. So that's going to be crazy.
Oh shit, welcome to the dark side.
Oh shit, I know, bro.
Well, first of all, congratulations on that. It's a beautiful thing, trust me, it's absolutely a beautiful thing. Coming from a husband himself, it's a very not just life-changing, but it's a life-touching moment. Like when you sit there and actually, you know, you look at your girlfriend now and you're like, that's my wife now. Like, and then like down the road, you start catching yourself calling her your wife and shit. It's really, really, it's really life touching. But that's really dope that you guys are. Cause I think last time we spoke, you actually mentioned it on your episode, you know, almost a year ago, that you had plans. Yeah. And then of course, you know, COVID came and just, you know, fucked everybody's shit up. So I'm glad you guys can actually get the time and actually go through with that. That's super, super fucking dope, man.
Yeah, man, and it's becoming more and more real, bro, as the time goes by, because it's like, bro, it's almost here. Like, you know, December's going to be here before we know it, you know? Time be going by quick, man.
Yeah, yeah, especially, so, like, I don't know what it is. It's like 2020 itself, we waited so long. we waited so long, and then 2021 came, and it's already midway through the year already. And I'm like, where the fuck did the time go? You know what I'm saying? Like, I really don't... Well, to be honest, on the outside looking in, like, I feel like I haven't accomplished, like, a lot. Like, a super a lot. I mean, I've done a lot, but, like, not to where I'm, like, I could look back from 6 months from now and say, yeah, I did a lot more than I did in 2020. And I was just like, man, time is crazy, man. Time is crazy.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, and it's been wild, you know, like, we're... You know, from my end, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, like, our pod, bro, our shit's honestly been all over the place. That's kind of like a downside. Like, we haven't been as consistent as I'd like to, man. But it's bro, it's like life's been hitting us like crazy, man, lately. Like, you know, our schedules are kind of like switching up a little bit. But
yep.
Yeah, man. When we get the time, you know, we try to deliver as much as we can, man. Actually, our recent episode that we just did, like, last week, that one, bro, we're actually listening back, and to me, that was, like, one of the better episodes that we did. I don't know if you haven't checked it out yet, but that's
I'd be trying to tune in, and I did notice a small decline, and the thing is, that same thing happened to me and Chris, like, as of, like, the last month. I think we've been pushing every episode back to where it's, like, now we're recording on the weekends instead of Tuesdays. And it's either either him or me, you know, work and you know, me getting called in for overtime or having to work the weekends, et cetera, or coming home late. So, I mean, as long as you guys, like how we do, as long as you guys can come and put something together, I don't care if it's once a week or once or 2 weeks or whatever, or once a month, it's still putting out something. I know it may not be as consistent as your followers and your audience may like, but at least they're getting something. So even like with me, like I usually drop on Fridays and, you know, certain things came up. And between me and you, so we're like, let's just do it on the weekend. And then Saturday came, and we still had to do more shit. so we had to push it back a little bit longer. So instead of doing it earlier in the afternoon, we're doing it now at 6:30, you know, in the afternoon. Yeah. So, but as long as you guys are on the same page and still have that drive to want to do it. It really doesn't matter when you guys put out. I know scheduling is a big thing, especially for podcasting, because people get used to hearing you guys certain days of the week. But as long as you guys, like me, as long as you guys putting stuff out there, to me, it really doesn't matter. So, because when you stop, that's where the problem starts. You know, that's where you start getting that snowball effect. You start getting lazy. You start losing motivation. You start doubting, you know, the product and you know, what you guys, what you guys are trying to portray every episode or with the brand entirely. So, and also like how you stated with the, I like to call it, like the evolution of you guys, doing the podcast. I noticed the same thing too, and I've been noticing a lot more when I'm working with Chris, because when Martinez gets on, he's starting to do, like I said in Cato's episode, he's starting to do things like a podcaster would or a critic would, and I catch it on the fly, and it's like a dad watching his son ride a bike for the first time. And like, he hit me with some shit, like, I think it was like maybe three of our episodes. And you guys' time, it's like 3 weeks. So about 3 weeks ago, we did an episode and during the episode, he rebutted on some stuff and was throwing some shit back at me. And I'm like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, holy fuck, this dude is like actually being a podcaster, like an actual critic. And I know he has it. As bad as it sounds, first of all, guys, okay, Martinez is the homie, okay? But as bad as it sounds, it's just very good to see, because I know the kid wants to podcast. That's why I put him on. That's why he's on the team, and he's got his own slot. But like for him, but for me to like watch him do that and hear it in his voice, like when he rebuttals and asks me certain questions about certain topics, and he bounces back and gives his own opinions. It's like I said, it's like a dad watching his son grow up. It's like, holy shit, like this guy's finally getting it. He's doing the damn thing. Yeah. But then when I go back and I listen to our episodes, like the quality from when we first started till now, let it be like sound and rebuttals and questions and content and topics and the debates, it's just it's just getting better and better. So for you guys, you've been doing it just as long as I have. I think you guys are over 20 episodes. And
we just hit episode 23.
Yeah, so it's definitely dope to see that you guys are actually witnessing success within you guys, within yourself, you know what I'm saying? So that's always dope too, that you guys can actually bounce back and fall back and be like, hey, like, hey John, did you listen to the latest episode again? And then he come back and say, yeah, like, it sounded really good, like, we had a lot of stuff that we covered, and it sounded like our best work. Because me and Martinez have those conversations almost every time, time, like, in the future. So like episode 1, episode 5, episode 10, we're always talking about how much better it sounds after we listen to it, and then like up until now. Mm-hmm. And I think me and Chris are like over 20, almost 25 episodes together, and it's gotten way better. So that's dope. Keep up the consistency, and John, stop being lazy and get your ass on the podcast. Get the fuck off of the damn stereo app, okay? No, they want to hear you on Spotify.
That man hooked on stereo, man. That man's doing like more podcasts. I was telling him, bro, like, yo, you're doing more episodes with all these with Tommy and them. And I was like, god damn, bro, this guy.
Don't forget where you came from is what we're trying to get at. Yeah. He's like, let me find somebody that gels with me just in case Jim fucking falls through.
I know. I'm not looking for backup plans, bro, in case the shit falls through.
Yeah, man, that's crazy.
Nah,
man,
but it's all love though, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think stereo is dope. I know you feel a little different of it.
I want to try it. Obviously, we were scheduled to do something, but again, life. But I'll try it out here and there. I'll probably just redo another episode with you to make things easier.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I wanna like it. You know, I was tooling around with it today. Tommy was with one of I think a mutual friend between him and John. I can't remember the guy's name. But
I think Johnny is.
Yeah. So I was tooling around listening to it on the way home from the laundromat, and I chimed in, did some audio messages and shit. Like, they were doing a grind your gears episode, and I would throw in some stuff, you know, and do the audio message thing and just get a feel for it, you know, like how other people are using the app and shit like that. So another people were chiming in, and like the people that were chiming in with the audio message were talking about what we were saying and then what they were saying, and then it was going back and forth, which is a dope idea. But like, like my whole feeling for the podcast is like, I know I'm not going to get the same feel as me just sitting here on the phone and just talking, you know. But I'll fuck with it, you know. Sooner or later, I'll fuck with it, you know.
That's honestly like my favorite feature, like the how people can be interactive with it. That's really like the shit that I like, and you know, you could incorporate them within the episode. That's really like the selling point for me.
Yeah, because I can do the same thing too. I can, because I have two phones, so I can always. Because I'm Bluetoothing my personal phone for the music, and then I have you on the I entitled it the podcast phone, which is an old Galaxy phone that I have. And
dope.
Yeah, so I can always like try to, like, you know, put somebody on my phone and Bluetooth them in while we're talking, et cetera, stuff like that. But I don't know. We'll tool with it sooner or later. Me and you we'll do an episode of some dumb shit. You know what I'm saying? So.
Dope, man.
But the first thing I want to touch on, I know you touched on it a little bit on your latest episode. Shout out to Pepe.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll touch on it just a little bit. And for those of you who've been under a rock, probably not, because it was all over social media. And, you know, people take stories like this and they just run with it like crazy. As of recent, this whole cancel culture thing, and I'm doing the air bunnies right here, the whole cancel culture thing, you know, they've been canceling Dr. Seuss. They say Mr. Potato Head doesn't know what gender he is, even though his name is Mr. Potato Head and there is a Mrs. Potato Head. you know, the whole Lola Bunny being on Space Jam, she doesn't look sexy enough anymore like she used to, scandal thing going on. And now they
scandal.
Yeah. and now
stupid.
And now they're attacking my dog Pepe Le Pew. So
bruh.
this.
If you just want to, you don't have to touch on Pepe Le Pew in general. Just, you know, the cancel culture thing to you. Like, what is, like, what does it mean to you as far as, like, in regards to what you do respect, what you think is a little outlandish or here and there, you know what I'm saying? You can just touch on that and I'll jump in with my shit. Cause I got a lot of talk about my dog Pepe. Y'all need to leave Pepe alone.
Bro. And I mean, like you mentioned, man, we touched on this on the podcast, but basically, man, here's why I have a problem with this shit. Like, you know, of course, you know, we recognize what's right and what's wrong. You know, of course, you know, we all like grew up like with certain morals and shit that we follow or whatever. But my shit is that, bro, it's a fucking cartoon. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit ain't harming nobody. Like, it's stupid shit. But then again, you know, and again, I don't have a problem with this shit either. But, you know, people are so quick to rush through the fucking cartoons and shit like that. But, bro, then again, they were talking about how Cardi B was on stage, like talking about her pussy and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I don't got a problem with it. Don't get me wrong. But my thing is, like, okay, y'all have a problem with this shit, but like, you got this fucking female talking about like their pussy and shit like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it makes no fucking sense, bro.
Yeah, I think what it is especially because it's a newer thing. So I think it's the newer generation that's kind of fueling the whole thing. And the thing that gets me is that they don't know how to separate or you know, in between the two things. Like, you're mad at, okay, let's say you're mad at the whole Mr. Potato Head thing. Like, you guys are mad at Mr. Potato Head because he doesn't, they said some, I don't know the exact verbiage, but I know that's because he doesn't classify himself as a man or a woman or some shit to that liking or whatever. But the guy's name is Mr. Potato Head, and there's clearly a Mrs. Potato Head because all of us that are our age or a little bit older have watched Toy Story and has had a Mr. Potato Head in their toy box, and his name is Mr. Potato Head. So I think that people need to learn to separate the two. Now, if you're mad at a way or something that is being portrayed, I can totally understand that. Okay, we're all adults here. I can totally understand that. And what me and Cato talked about, because the reason why I haven't said anything about any of this cancel culture until they came after Pepe. Okay.
Yeah.
For those of you who didn't listen to the Cato episode last week, I am a very avid Looney Tunes fan. It was one of my favorite shows growing up, obviously with Space Jam and et cetera, et cetera. But it was one of my favorite shows growing up as a kid. I watched it all the time. Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote, Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Elmer Fudd, and et cetera, et cetera. And this isn't the first time they came after Looney Tunes. They took Elmer Fudd's gun away. He doesn't have a shotgun anymore. They took Yosemite Sam. They took his revolvers away. He doesn't have revolvers anymore. But now listen, but they let Wile E. Coyote still try to blow up the Roadrunner with dynamite still. So, I don't understand.
Where the hell is the logic in that, bro?
I don't know. Why only come for some and then not the others? You know what I'm saying? And then on top of Pepe Le Pew, they started coming after, what's his name? Speedy Gonzalez. Now they're saying that he's being portrayed as a Mexican, which he is Mexican. He's from Mexico, obviously. But they don't like how he's being portrayed on the cartoon, stereotypical with the outfit and the hat and et cetera, et cetera. But in my response, okay, again, we're talking about a cartoon here. We're talking about a cartoon.
Emphasize cartoon. Holy shit.
Yeah, and y'all mad at the way he looks, but he's not doing anything like out of disrespect. You know, the mouse is fast. Speedy Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. That's what he's known for. He's not the drunk Gonzalez or Cinco de Mayo Gonzalez or some outlandishly, you know, racist bullshit, you know, or some cultural impactful bullshit. I mean, it's a mouse that runs fast. That's what he has an accent. Like, he's from Mexico. Like, what do you want this mouse to do? So,
if anything, that's a good look for Spanish people, I think. I mean, I like that shit. I'm Hispanic, and I never had a problem with it.
Never. I thought it was dope. Never at all. And the thing that gets me, like I said, is the way people are trying to portray that there's something wrong, rather than going off of like evidence or facts or factual evidence, what kind of makes me upset. Because for those of you who don't know, again, I'll restate this. I like to troll on social media. I push people's buttons every time I'm on Facebook. I don't give a fuck, and I don't give a shit. That's what I like to do. It engages people's conversations. I get to see where people's heads are at. It is a great thing. So when I made a post about Pepe, I don't know if you saw it by any chance. It has like 160 comments. Okay, I'm not going to be name calling who's in there, but if you know, you know.
Yeah.
So I made this post about Pepe, and you know, everybody was giving me the spiel, and the whole Facebook, the whole Google.com. I done searched it up on Bing, all this shit about how the cancel culture is saying that he's promoting rape culture. And I'll be the first to admit, I wasn't totally inclined on what the hell rape culture was entirely. So I did look it up. I read a little bit, and what they were trying to put Pepe in the same room as rape culture was the fact that he was sexually objectifying Penelope, which is the cat, and et cetera, et cetera. So I understood where they were coming from. Like, if you read it, I understand, like, you know, sexual objectification.
You got it.
It's basically like, you know, somebody, you know, making a certain person, you know, an object for sex or sexual activity, et cetera, et cetera. You know, with him grabbing her and kissing her and groping her and stuff like that. And TLDR, I'm not going to draw this out too much. TLDR, we talked about it. And then as soon as I brought up the lore and the backstory of Pepe Le Pew and Penelope, the backstory, because, you know, just like your favorite TV shows and your favorite movies and your favorite superheroes, they all have backgrounds. They all have stories. The reason why they are the way they are, you know, Batman's parents got killed. He wants revenge. You know what I'm saying? Like, Two-Face got his shit blown up. He wants revenge for his girl, his wife getting murdered by the Joker, et cetera, et cetera. So the backstory of Pepe Le Pew and Penelope is... Okay, and remind you guys, Pepe is from France. You know, they're really kissy touchy over there. First of all, let's just get that. They got to kiss you twice when they see you. We only kiss you once in America, but they got to kiss you twice over there. Okay.
Yep.
So he finds Penelope, and throughout the cartoons, if you guys never watched it, Penelope puts herself in these positions to where she always gets a white stripe put on her back, to where she looks like a female skunk. Okay, that drives Pepe crazy, and he wants to show his affection, he wants to show his love, he wants to be with her, hence why he's always buying her gifts, taking her out, and doing all of this, you know, regular lovey-dovey shit that we do as humans as well. And the thing that they're trying to focus on, because I seen the excerpts and I seen the videos and the small clips of past cartoons that everybody was floating on Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that, was just him groping her and her pushing him off. Okay, good. I understand. From the outside looking in, you see a skunk and a cat, and a skunk is trying to persuade the cat to be with him or do extra stuff as far as grabbing and kissing and et cetera like that. Now, what people tend to forget, and they've been forgetting since day one, since this news was dropped and everybody was losing their mind. The main reason why Penelope is pushing Pepe off is because why? Don't everybody say it at once now. Because he fucking smells. He is a skunk. Yeah. Skunks don't smell like Calvin Klein cologne. They fucking stink. Okay? So she's pushing him off for the reasons of his odor, because he smells. Okay, we'll just leave that there. Right. And then another TLDR, after as many episodes as he had in his long run, remind you guys, this cartoon character debuted in 1945. Let that sink in too as well. Yeah. Think about all the shit that's been on movies and TV shows and everything up until now since 1945, and y'all want to come for Pepe, but we'll save that for a later discussion. But TLDR, at the end of all the shenanigans that Pepe was doing, they actually end up together. She falls in love with him, and they end up together. So what you guys are trying to portray is different than what the backstory really is. You know what I'm saying? Like the pervert from Family Guy is just that. He is a pervert. He is trying to get with kids. Okay. Quagmire is trying to fuck all the time, no matter what it is. It could be an old lady, a young girl. Doesn't matter. He's trying to fuck all the time. That's his character.
Right.
Pepe is a skunk who's mistakenly falling in love with a cat because he thinks that she is a skunk. and that he is trying to always be consistent and always being trying to show his affection, like trying to win her over, just like any other human would do. When you date somebody, you try to win them over, take them out on dates, you buy them gifts, you know, you're affectionate and stuff like that. Because at the end of the day, and I'm going to end it right here because I've been babbling, and I'm gonna let Jam close it out. At the end of the day, you're saying that it's promoting rape culture, it's doing all of this, but at the end of the day, Pepe never rapes Penelope. There's no raping. You know, they end up together. You know, she's pushing him off because he smells. And that's where I end my conversation, because once I told the actual backstory to Martinez, he was like, bro, he's like, bro, I opened up his eyes a little bit. He's like, bro, you got a point. And he's like, now I can see why you're so vocal, because one and two don't add to, you know, they don't add up. It's like you're trying to make a thing over a character that's just being him, obviously. And you're trying to incorporate how the cat is reacting without knowing the actual story. You know, a rape is rape and a square is a square where I come from. You know what I'm saying?
Of course, yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's a cartoon, so... I don't know if you want to touch on that. I know I was blabbing for a little bit, but
it's fucked. That was a fucking mic drop, bro. Holy shit! Hey, Pepe, you summarized it perfectly, man. You summarized it perfectly. Nah, and that's true. That's the thing, bro. Because nowadays, that's another thing too, bro. With this cancel culture shit, it pisses me off. Because these motherfuckers, they be making up these scenarios in their head, and not like you said, not really knowing the full backstory of shit, man. So it's like, it's one of those things where they're just making assumptions because it looks a certain way. If anything, man, they're in the wrong for fucking, what the fuck is wrong with all y'all cancel culture motherfuckers that, you know what I'm saying, like thinking that way about a fucking cartoon. You know what I'm saying? That's probably wrong with y'all head.
And like I said, I can see, because let's be totally clear, okay? Big Ant does not totally despise cancel culture, okay? I believe everybody has an opinion. Everybody should voice it. You need, you know, freedom of speech. Use it before they take it away. I'm all for it, okay? I'm all for it. But understand that there needs to be an underlining and an understanding of why these things need to be canceled, rather than you just being a more sensitive person to certain situations than others. Because if that's the case, then there should have been a whole bunch of canceling. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to throw any names out there, but Donald Trump. There should have been a whole bunch of canceling. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And there's other things that are more important than just cartoons if you want to cancel things. You know what I'm saying?
That's the point, man. Absolutely.
And here's my last mic drop before I let you finish. How many of these celebrities and famous actors and actresses and TV shows that you guys still support and watch today, but you guys know and seen evidence linked to them messing with children or have sexual fantasies with children and all this nasty, grimy shit, but yet you'll still pay $11 for a movie ticket and go watch one of their movies, or go sign up for HBO Max and go watch one of their movies, but y'all mad about a 1945 cartoon? Mr. Potato Head,
right?
Lola Bunny.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Bro, like, you guys are just
shit people care about, man.
It's just mind boggling that you guys would put so much fucking effort into trying to cancel a cartoon rather than not trying to cancel something that really fucking matters. Like, really fucking matters. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because, man.
Go ahead.
Like, no, that's cool. No. And it's like you saying, man, that's the thing. Like, the shit that they're putting emphasis on, shit that really is like, it shouldn't even fucking be a big deal, man. Like, you summarized it perfectly. Cancel culture, I feel like, you know, the good side of things is when they come at those celebrities that fucking, they come to find out that they've been doing all this fucked up flagrant shit for years. You know, that's the good side of it. Like, yeah, give them the what the fuck they deserve, bro.
Yeah.
You know, they've been getting away with shit. So that's a good side of the cancel culture. But bro, coming at cartoons, like really, like you said, like from 1940s, like, and they're just misunderstanding what the hell it really is about to begin with, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing, like not understanding the logic behind the character and the lore, because somebody rebutted to me and was like, what does the backstory of the character mean anything? And I just simply wrote back. I said, okay, if you want to go that route, I got some fuel for your fire now. I said, if you want to go that route, why do people with bad credit can't own mansions? Why do people with bad credit can't drive Ferraris? Why do they do background checks when you go for a very important job, or any job for that matter, if your backstory and your lore doesn't count or shouldn't matter? Word. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like
100%.
Or when somebody gets locked up, you know what I'm saying? And that goes on their record, and then they get locked up again, and the cop doesn't want to look up his previous past and just says, okay, I'll just let you go with a citation, rather than looking him up and notice that he has 8 warrants for fucking murder and all this crazy shit. So backstory and lore definitely counts in a numerous amount of situations, not just, you know, cancel culture and talking about cartoons, but in life in general. Like I said, you can't go out there and buy a mansion with 450 credit. That's your backstory. What have you been doing the last, you know, 30 years of your life? Why do you have a 450 credit score? You can't own this. You can't buy this. And if you do buy it, you're getting way more interest, and you have to pay way more at the end than somebody that has 700. So don't tell me backstory and lore don't count in certain situations, even as petty as this, to more important, like getting a new car or getting a new house or owning a new house. You know what I'm saying? So backstory and lore definitely counts, and people just need to open up their minds just a little bit more. I'm all for freedom of speech and definitely fighting for what you believe. And if you want to take a stand on rape and rape culture, I'm here, and I'm giving you one of these all the fucking way. Like Jam said in the beginning, we're adults. We should know the difference between right and wrong. And if you watch Pepe Le Pew, ain't nobody in their right mind is saying, yeah, let me go out there and rape somebody. Or what I'm looking at is very intriguing. I'm going to use that on my next date or something. Something. I mean, there's a lot of sick people out there. Don't get me wrong. I mean, somebody out there might. But I mean, a majority, this is a majority thing. A majority of humans out there are not going to incorporate what this skunk is doing to this cat to some fucking Law and Order shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, Pepe Le Pew is not in the courtroom, you know, going up against charges and shit. So, I mean, to each its own, but I just wanted to touch on it because I know you talked about it a lot too as well on your podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And it's like, you know, it's like one of those things, like you said too, you know, it's just different. It depends. Like I use the example on my podcast that where I said, you know, Grand Theft Auto, bro. How many of us played that shit? We're not over here fucking stealing cars, fucking shooting up people, shit like that.
Yeah, we're not we're not picking up prostitutes and beating their ass and getting our money back. We're not setting fire to banks. You know what I'm saying? We're not dealing drugs. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah, so
I mean, but see how the spider web, it reaches out very far because, you know, they're not just putting that game out there for anybody to play. Obviously, it comes with an ESRP rating. So if your parents are allowing children to buy that game, it starts at the house. It starts at home.
Yep.
You know, there's parental controls on TVs now. There's parental controls on your internet now. There's parental controls on your phones. You know, you watch what your kids watch. You know, that's what I tell everybody. You watch what your kids watch. You know what I'm saying? There was a point where I couldn't, when I was in my house growing up, there was a point where I couldn't be in the living room after 10 o'clock because my mom and dad knew that they had HBO, they had Cinemax, they had all these other lucrative, you know, TV channels that after 10:30, they showing titties. and I just, you know, our parental controls back then was our parents telling us to go in our rooms. We didn't have some nice little remote that said, you know, lock this, lock that, block this, block that. But my parents knew that at a certain time, Anthony, you better get your ass in your room with basic cable. And I'm not seeing that. The closest I got to seeing titties in my room because I had basic cable was at 2 o'clock in the morning when I saw infomercials for Girls Gone Wild. That's it. That's it. And the occasional and the occasional Friday nights, Thursday night SmackDown where they would have, you know, the Tori Wilson or somebody come out and some bra panties or some shit. That would be the only time I saw anything, you know, that was, you know, over the top. You know what I'm saying? So there's,
bro, you know what I remember? You remember BET Uncut? That shit right there was really
That too. But it came on at 3 o'clock in the morning for a fucking reason. No kid should be up that late.
Hell no.
But yeah, like I said, guys, don't take anything out of context. You know what I'm saying? If you guys have a purpose and you have something that you want to stand up for, it's in your human rights. So don't. This is just our opinions, obviously. But all we're just saying is just, you know, you got to take one side with the other side. You know what I'm saying? They hold trials for murderers. Still, they still, even though they knew you killed 10, 12, 8 people, they still put you on trial. And guess what? You still have a chance to defend yourself. So what I'm trying to say is, don't just go, you know, guns blazing, cancel this, cancel that, because you feel it's a little bit insensitive to your eyes. Because a lot of people, especially like us, we're looking at y'all with the dumbest face. Pepe Le Pew, Potato Head, come on, man. Come on. Like, come on. You know? And everything else, like I said, like, you know, a lot of people were giving, like I did too, they were giving examples like Family Guy and South Park and stuff like that. And they're right. They're right. They have some very sensitive issues and sensitive characters that do kind of do the most outlandish. But like I said, like on Grand Theft Auto, there is an ESRP, just like how there is TV ratings. Okay, those shows are for the mature audiences, so those people will understand that it's make-believe, you know? So what we're trying to say is just, you know, take it with a grain of salt, you know, debate, open up your mind, talk about it. Because like I said, there's a lot of people that didn't know Pepe's backstory, and I've had multiple conversations with people because, like I said, I'm an avid Looney Tunes fan. Like, I know his backstory. A lot of people just see a skunk trying to get with a damn cat, but there's more to it than that. And then at the end of the day, they get together. You know what I'm saying? Like, they really get together. They're married, all that shit. You know what I'm saying? Pepe gets his dreams come true. He never gave up on love. Because, like I said, the spider web is deep. It's somebody who's passionate about being with this person. He's not giving up. He's showing an affection. He's showing, you know, he's showing he's persistent to an extent. You know, he's not walking up to it with his dick out. you know what I'm saying?
He's on fire!
He's not, wild shit right there.
Yeah, he's not doing any of that shit. So, I mean, leave Pepe alone, bro. Okay? It might be too late, but I don't give a damn. I'm still watching Pepe Le Pew cartoons on YouTube, so fuck that.
Word.
Fuck that. So
well said. Holy shit, man. Yeah, you summarized that perfectly.
Woo, shit. So now that we got that out of the way. I wanted to touch base, like I stated earlier, that Jam has his own podcast with our boy John, the Splits Podcast, which is available on every platform as well. So if you guys want to venture out and, you know, get off of my podcast for a little while and then go chop it up with two fucking, I don't know how to explain this without sounding outlandish myself, but two really,
we're about to cancel Big Ant. We're about to cancel Big Ant.
Too cool, and I don't know what else to call you guys. You guys are too cool. I was gonna say too cool amigos. but honestly, if you guys want to check out a really cool podcast where they go back and forth on a whole array of topics and debates, just a real cool, it's even bilingual sometimes, you know, I mean, I can't speak Spanish, but these two are very fluent, and they be doing stuff sometimes in Spanish, and it's bilingual. It's just cool as fuck. They debate and they talk about topics, about shit, arranging array of topics just like how we do. And yeah, check them out. It's the Splits Podcast on everything.
Yo, it's funny you mentioned the bilingual thing, because I don't know if you've seen, like, we did like a whole Spanish episode like a while ago. This was early on, bro. That shit was as difficult as, I didn't think it was gonna be that difficult, you know. It's not to say that I'm not fluent, because I am, you know, especially my line of work, I have to be like fluent in both, but bro, there's just something, it's like a different dynamic, you know, because most of the time, of course, to my fiance, to my, you're my brothers, bro, we all talk English amongst ourselves, you know. I really just talk fully Spanish just to my mom, so it's like, it's one of those things, like, you know, it's not like, damn, am I forgetting my own fucking native language and shit, because there'll be certain words where I will get stuck, bro. So I'm like, shit. I'm like, damn, I'm losing my fucking touch, man. I'm becoming a straight up They're gringo.
Shit, you're doing better than me, because I only know some words. So when I talk to my wife and my father-in-law, I be trying to put like words together that doesn't make any sense, but they understand what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I be saying some like stupid shit, and my dad, my father-in-law, he be telling me how to say it in Spanish, and then like we'll go over it like two or three times, then I'll just forget it tomorrow. But it's just funny because he knows what I'm trying to say, and then he'll tell me, you know what I'm saying, and his thick ass Cuban accent, like how to say it in broken English, and it's fucking hilarious. But speaking of podcasting, what I wanted to ask you was, since the last time we talked, obviously you said that you had evolved a little bit as far as content and quality wise. Is there anything that you guys have come to agreement, or maybe just you in general, have you guys thought about changing something on the podcast? As far as like, you know, content wise, not just being as just, you know, the Splits podcast, just you and John talking shit, like bring in something new, a different aspect, something that the people can look forward to.
Yeah, man, we've had a lot of these topics and conversations, you know, off behind the camera, or off camera, should I say, just about like things that we could, you know, incorporate more. Like, bro, believe it or not, I'm actually probably gonna drop like something exclusive, but bro, we weren't even thinking of bringing like a third person on. Yeah, but then, you know, then we kind of like backtraced on that. I was like, you know what, I don't know, man. I mean, we could try it out. Like, we're thinking like doing like, you know, bringing this person on like as a regular and just to see how it works, you know, like a recurring guest. And of course, if it's a dud, then it'll just be back to just me and him. But believe it or not, it's actually a female co-host.
Oh shit,
we have in mind.
Oh shit.
I feel like it'll be like a good, you know, somebody who could, you know, kind of even level us out, you know, when we're talking stupid shit, that she'll be kind of get her lady's point of view, you know. But
yeah,
I don't
know,
you know, it's still up in the works, you know, something that we're still talking about.
No, that's
definitely have the perfect.
Yeah, that's a pretty dope idea. Like, I even what was it after I think it was after we talked, me and Kato, after we did our episode, I actually offered to Kato to you know, come on the podcast, like be like an actual co-guest, like how I do Martinez. And he's actually thinking about it, because he does podcasting too with his boys. Every now and then he jumps on there with them and stuff, and then he comes on my podcast every now and then. Obviously it's only been twice, but you know, we always talked about podcasting. So I told him, I offered to him, and he said he'd think about it and everything like that, because what he told me is what you guys also have to remember too, is that extra person has to be dedicated. You know what I'm saying? They have to know the difference of like, okay, once a week I need to come do this and I need to do the podcast, rather than, oh, I can't make it today, and then I can't make it that day, and then you're sitting there with a month without, you know, the extra guest helping out. So he brought that up to me. He's like, I don't want to tell you, yeah, and then when you come look for me, I'm busy, or you know, I push it back a week or two or 3 weeks, and then it takes a while for me to get on the podcast. So you have to find somebody that has the same passion and dedication, because it does take enough to where you have to make the time. Because like some weeks I'm like, I put out two episodes, I'm like, yo, I could totally get back in the booth and do another one. And then there's some weeks where I just bust my ass at work and I'm super tired, and I tell Chris like, hey, let's do Tuesday's episode Sunday. I'm not even gonna turn on the fucking mixer. I'm super, you know what I'm saying? It's just, nope, not today. I can't, bro.
I hear you, bro.
So that's different from one podcaster to another, not just because you're my boy. But a female side would be dope, because I don't know if you ever saw Joe Budden did the same thing with his podcast. He off-branded a I think it's a trio of girls that do their podcast, but they're affiliated with the Joe Budden podcast, and it's three girls.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, it's three girls, and they talk their shit, you know, about girl shit, you know, because they don't talk about girl shit on Joe Budden's podcast, obviously, because you know it's Rory Mall and him. But he had branched off and made a trio of girls, so the girls can have something, which is a very smart and brilliant business move, because as somebody as successful as Joe with his podcast, Now he has something for the girls, so the girls don't always have to tune in and listen to what the guys are saying. They can turn around and say, hey, you know, it's a shame that I don't know their names because I have not listened to any of their stuff. But they could turn on the girls' Joe Budden podcast and be like, holy shit, they're talking about, you know, 10 ways to be with a girl or 10 things that girls don't like about men. And, you know, they're chilling for 2.5 hours. So that's that's definitely a dope idea, because it's funny because I'm in the same boat. I'm like, I want to maybe bring somebody else, or I want to implement another segment, or, you know, do I want to like open up something totally different for the podcast? Because I started with Chris and that's going well. I say maybe I can add something else to it and maybe bring somebody else in to give another voice to the podcast. So it's something definitely you guys should look into and just think about. And if that, you got to sit down and talk to that person, you know, being it's this girl, just sit down and be like, look, man, like, we just need the same dedication. And if you can just be consistent with us, you know what I'm saying? We'll be Gucci. You know what I'm saying? Cause that's what it comes down to. No,
but what's dope about it is that, bro, I could tell from her, like her tone, you know, you know, when you could tell that somebody's like really like serious about this shit. Cause she's like, she really like saying like, hey, let me know. Like, I really would be down for that. I'm telling you, I'll make time for it. Like, she's the one that's telling me this shit. So I'm like, okay. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
That's dope. Like I said, that's really dope. Yeah. If they're willing to do it, I mean, fuck it. Run with it, dog. It's something new, you know? And then you never know. It might actually catch on and be something, you know, worthwhile in the future. You know what I'm saying? Always bring something fresh. You know, so I'm always trying to change up some shit on the podcast and bring up some new shit, you know?
Yeah, besides that, man, you know, another thing that we're trying to incorporate really is just to get like our main set, you know, like a lot of these, like, you know, major brands of podcasts, they have like a set, like, you know, like you mentioned the Joe Budden podcast. We already know, you know, their set, they have like that same look all the time. Like, that's something that we're trying to get and incorporate too, you know, because I don't know if you've seen, like, when we do, like, because we film it as well, you know, we're always like at different locations, bro, because we always have to like move, like, it's either in my room or it's in the living room or sometimes outdoors. So it's not consistent. So that's one thing that we're also looking into, like just getting like a spot where we have that, like, you know, that's going to be our set for the pod.
Facts. Yeah. I got my little room set up and, you know, just COVID is just killing my vibe. Like, I got the extra mics, I got the boom stands, I got the couch. The only thing I'm missing is I still have to get a camera. I mean, I got a webcam that does justice, you know, records in 1080p, 60 frames. It does its job, but I want to get an actual like DSLR and be able to like record for a long time with high quality and shit. But the thing is, it's just COVID. You know what I'm saying? Like, my wife is still really big on not letting people over, you know, like I can't just bring anybody over, you know, because that's just what it is. So like I'm waiting and I'm like, fuck, I'm got to the point now where I want to buy like a battery pack. They sell these battery packs for my mixer and I want to go to like a park or some shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to start going out, you know, to other places to have people come with me and do podcasts and shit like that, so I can have some type of different atmosphere. And then I want to start recording that and shit, like just be at a park on a picnic table and somebody's just there just talking with me and shit like that, and film it, you know. I have like a lot of ideas, but it's just like the main thing, dog, is this is fucking COVID, bro.
Yeah, bro, you know what's crazy, speaking of COVID, I actually went to go do the test finally, bro. I went a whole year without taking the shit, believe it or not.
Damn.
So I was really like,
damn.
But yeah, the reason I had to finally cave in, bro, is because my brother, bro, we had like a little scare with him and I was around him, bro, and this man had a fever. He was like, oh shit, bro, you think you might have that? But he said, I don't know, man. And my brother's stubborn as shit, bro. He's the type that he hates doctors. He hates anything medical related.
Yeah.
You know, so he was stubborn. So I'm like, yo, fuck, man. So I told my girl, because we were like around him. So I told my girl and we both went to go take it real quick. And nah, man, thankfully we were negative. And my brother, it turns out that he just happened to have a bad cold. And it wasn't that shit. So
yeah, that's the thing, dog, because some of the symptoms are just like regular cold. Like, it's like a regular cold symptom, like have a fever, a cough. You know, a headache, constant headaches. You know, you could just have a bad migraine. You know, I had to do the same thing when the first wave started coming out and people were taking it serious, like, stay your ass home, and, you know, now you got to go get tested type shit. Like, I came to work And I was like, dog, I feel like shit. Like, I knew I had a fever. You know, like, you got the back, you get the, your back's hurting, you're sore, and you just have a headache. And I'm like, fuck, dude. I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to go to work. And I go to work, and they got the little temperature gun. You know, they're shooting everybody in the head. They're shooting everybody. Okay, you're good. Go ahead. They get the motherfucking big ant. They shoot that shit. That bitch said 101. They were like, yeah, I'm going to need you to clock out. And here's this paper. Go to this address, and you're going to have to go get tested. So now I'm shitting bricks, dog. I'm scared. I'm like, oh, fuck, dude. So I'm like, all right, you know, I got to do what I got to do. I went there. Luckily, this one was at a park in where my job is. And you pull up, and, you know, they roll the window down, and, you know, the lady's talking to you and shit like that. And then she opens up the bag, and she pulls out this 12-foot fucking tweezer. I mean, a Q-tip. And I'm like, I'm like, where the fuck is that going? where are you gonna put that? Shit. I said, I hope you ain't putting that shit in my ass.
Oh shit! Hell nah. So hell yeah, I'm okay with the nose. Fuck that.
So she's like, I gotta put it up there. I gotta twist it, and then, you know what I'm saying, pull it out, blah blah blah. So I'm like, oh, fuck, dude, I'm sweating bullets in the car, dog. So she puts it in there. She turns it around a few times, and. Bro, I don't know about you, but that shit burned. My eyes were watering. She's like, okay, we're done. In about 7 seconds, she's like, we're done. I was like, we're good? She's like, yeah. So after that, I waited 2 weeks, got my results back. I was negative. I went back and took another test. I was negative because my dad actually caught COVID. And yeah, he was fucked up, dog. He was fucked up. He had got COVID. And when he went to the hospital, he actually got pneumonia. And he was fucked up, man. My mom was fucking having an aneurysm. She was having a heart attack. She's like, I don't know if he's gonna make it. I'm like, yo, but I said, bro, chill. I said, we talking about dad. You acting like we talking about some random, like some Bob or some shit. I said, we talking about Daddy Dan. I was like, he'll be all right. So he stayed in the hospital for I think maybe like a week, maybe a week and a half. Mm-hmm. And he bounced back. He got good. Got the fuck up out of there and went home. So when I went back and saw him, I said, well, now you got nothing to worry about. And he's like, what you mean? I said, he's like, you got it. Now your body got it. You good. You can walk around with no mask if you wanted to. but on the real, everybody, please, like I tell you guys on numerous episodes, stay clean, wash your hands, wear your mask, please, for everybody, because there are people out there that do have it and don't know. And that one time you act reckless, you might come home and give it to your family and be fucked up for a couple of weeks. So, but it's terrible. Yeah. I hate COVID. It's fucked up everything. My work, going out. The podcast, you know, it's crazy. Like, I don't make an actual revenue from the podcast, but it's something I do on the regular, and I love it to death. And I'm like, bro, I could do so much more if people could just come to the crib, but I can't because we have fucking, you know, Corona and shit. So,
yeah,
fuck it.
True that, man. The thing about it, I just wanted to mention this briefly, bro. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm like, I'll admit this shit right here. I'm very pussy when it comes to like doctor shit too, man. I hate that shit, man. So you know, of course, you know, granted, thinking with that big ass stick that's gonna go up your nose, bro. So I was surprisingly calm, and the reason I was calm is because I've actually, I don't know if you know about this shit. It's called like an ENT test, where they like check your throat.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever get that. Bro, I had to get that shit done one time because there was like something going on with my tonsils. I don't know what the fuck. So they were checking that shit, bro. But this shit, honestly, is worse than that COVID test. So that's why I was like, whatever. This shit was nothing to me. Because, bro, this shit, it's like a thick-ass, like, telescope camera type of shit. Yeah. Bro, and it's thick. Like, it's like a straw, bro. It's like, you know, like a McDonald's straw going up your nose. And then going through your fucking throat, bro. Imagine that. Mm. That shit was fucking crazy. But
I don't want nothing. I don't want nothing going down my throat. Hey.
Hell yeah. So, bro, you could imagine I was shitting bricks with that shit right there. But the difference with this was that they actually put some numbing shit in your nose. But, bro, that shit was
okay.
That was some scary shit, though. So that's why with this COVID shit, I was like, you know, I wasn't as nervous as I thought I would have been. I was like, oh, whatever. Straight.
Facts, man. Facts. All right, before we head to the Ask the Podcast segment that we're gonna be opening up with Jam himself, I'm gonna ask you this real quick question.
Oh,
what the fuck is Bad Bunny doing in WWE?
Hey, man. That man's living his dream, bro.
Boom shakalaka.
Oh, man.
I don't know how you feel about it, man, but honestly, I see it with these eyes, because I see some of the comments, you know, because that's one of the things, that's one of my favorite pastimes, bro. I like to see comments of, like, posts, like, whether it's on the WWE page or just in general. Mm-hmm. I like to just read the comments and see what the hell people are saying. And you see a lot of shit, bro. It's really divided. Some people saying, oh, get this fucking Bad Bunny guy. Who the fuck is this? Get him off the WWE TV. Why is he hogging up the screen time? But, bro, but then on the flip side of that, there's people that get it for what it is, because this isn't like, you remember when WWE was doing that shit where they were having the guest host, and how fucking disastrous that shit was, because mm-hmm. a lot of these motherfuckers, they don't even know shit about the product, and they're over here blindly looking like a fucking deer in the headlights, not knowing what the fuck to do. But with Bad Bunny, if you know about his shit, he's actually like, bro, he's a fan. Like, he talks about this shit in all his songs. Like, he mentions wrestling in some shape or form. Like, he's been doing that for years. So I feel like that's a different aspect of it, because it's when somebody's really, like, passionate about this shit, you could tell. I feel like I'm okay with that. And, you know, fuck, he just won, like, Grammy. Like, you know, a Grammy winning 24/7 champion, that's a good look for the WWE.
I ain't gonna lie. I'm not, if you guys know, because we've talked about this before too, I'm not the biggest Bad Bunny fan. Not because I don't understand Spanish entirely. I just, his music is kind of weird to me. Not saying that it's not good, and I'm not saying that he's trash. I'm just not a fan. Just not a fan. So,
respectful.
I understand from a business side why they're doing it, because mm-hmm. obviously co-hosts, guest stars like that, they bring in views. And that's what, that if you guys don't know or don't remember, that WWE and any other wrestling program, AEW and, you know, everybody else, they need people to tune in to make money, obviously, from the network. So adding somebody as far as Bad Bunny, and then also putting him with Damian Priest, I think is a very good move. Obviously another Latino wrestler. And it's kind of fitting to an extent. When he first got there in the pay-per-view, I was like, yo, what the fuck? Like, he did his performance. I was like, that's cool. Then he was like in the match, and then like jumping off the top rope, and then he won the then he won the 24/7 championship. I was like, okay, now you guys are getting a little bit out of hand. You guys are getting a little bit out of hand, because the only 24/7 champion needs to be R-Truth, because he single handedly made that whole division. He doesn't get enough respect. But we'll be talking about,
I love R-Truth.
Yeah, we'll be talking about R-Truth on a wrestling podcast. So at first I didn't like it. Then it kind of grew to me, you know, him being with Damian and then doing the shenanigans with Damian. So basically you would have Bad Bunny be the champion, and then you would have Damian do the legwork, you know, like knock somebody out, let Bunny pin, or talk shit and knock somebody out for Bad Bunny, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's like a tag team, but it's not a tag team. And basically Damian is just carrying Bad Bunny, because obviously Bad Bunny's not a wrestler, not yet at least. And I like I said, from the business standpoint, I understand 100% why they're doing it, and it actually grew to me. And I think it has a lot to do with Damian being next to him. Because if he was by himself, I don't think it would get over as well as it has been. So
that I agree with. Yeah.
Yeah. So Damian is really, really carrying this whole shenanigan shit to the full extent. And I like Damian Priest too as a whole wrestler. You know, back when he made his debut in NXT, and then him coming into the Rumble, then obviously moving to the Raw roster. And then, you know, doing this whole shindig with Bad Bunny. So,
yeah,
honestly, on a scale of 1 to 10, I give it a strong 8 out of 10. It's one of the better co-host guest kind of segments. It, like I said, it grew to me. At first, I was like, fuck no, this is stupid. Like, what is Bad Bunny doing here? This is outrageous. You know what I'm saying?
Outrageous.
This is outrageous.
Cancel Bad Bunny. Cancel Bad Bunny.
He's heating up.
Cancel Bad Bunny. Get him out of here. But I definitely dig it. So it's definitely cool.
Yeah.
And shout outs to Bobby Lashley for being another African American world champion. Yes. We only have like five, right. with him included. So I believe that that also needs to be touched on real quick, because I didn't touch on it when he won it, and the whole way he won it was fabulous. You know, Miz cashing in and doing all of this crazy shit, and like I said, him being a black athlete, African American athlete, it's not prominently known. You'll have like a tag team champion, intercontinental champion. You know, there's not many. And if you guys Google it, there's not many. You know, there's like Mark Henry. You could put The Rock in there, Kofi Kingston. But there's not like true African American or black wrestlers that were world champion. And true. You know, Bobby came and, you know, he paid his dues. He came back from, I think he had left to go to TNA for a little while. Mm-hmm. Then he came back to WWE like a year ago. So he's been floating around. Then he got put into the Hurt Business trio. And that's another thing that I did not like when it first came out. I was like, this shit is fucking whack. And then they brought back MVP and he made it 100% better. And I was like, yo, I like this shit. And then all of them have the belts now. And I'm like, I really like this shit. And then, when he won it, I was shocked. I was really shocked because I didn't see Drew dropping the belt until, you know, at least till WrestleMania. And I was like, yo, I could dig this. I can really dig this. I can dig him holding the belt up until WrestleMania. And I'm hoping that he has a WrestleMania moment on top of this, because like I said, the man has been around for a long time. If you count the on and off years, I think he's been in the WWE for over like 12 years, you know? So he's been around for a while. So for him to do something as monumental as get the world championship, and again, being who he is, African-American athlete, pro athlete, it's very, very monumental. He can walk out tomorrow and he can say, I'm in this small handful of superstars that are black and won the world heavyweight championship. And not a lot of people can say that, you know, a lot of people go in and out of wrestling and don't win no belts, but he won the big one.
That's true.
And like I said, you know, it just being who he is and what he is, it's very, very cool to watch. Same thing with Kofi. When Kofi's thing happened too, I was in the same boat. I was like, it's really awesome to see that they're showing a little bit of diversity in the work field. You know what I'm saying? It's not always It's not always the Superman, John Cena winning the belt every time. It's not, you know, the same practical, you know, wrestler winning the belt every single time. Even though they're doing the same thing with Roman right now.
And I think with Kofi, man, that was also like a good story how it was told too, because he's another one that, you know, he finally got his just due at the time, you know. So it was like, bro, both of them, it was good. It gave you like a good feeling to see, you know, as a fan, knowing how long they've been, you know, doing their just due, man. So it was like, it was just worth the wait, you know. It just made it that much more special and shit. So it's dope. I really love what they're doing. Bro, I gotta ask you this though. I need your opinion on this shit.
What's up?
What do you think are the chances that Brock's gonna show up? Do you think that's a possibility?
I wanna say yes, because I'm thinking like Vince. Because if you guys don't know or haven't watched wrestling or don't know exactly, you know, the whole lore of Vince loves big guys, always loved the big, huge fucking wrestlers. And Brock being Brock, one of the biggest superstars there as of recently, I have a little bit in me that says yes, but then a little bit says no, because if Brock comes back, I think that tarnishes Bobby's run as champion. Because Brock hasn't been there in a while. A mean minute. I want to say like a year or so. You know, he hasn't been around. So
last WrestleMania, I think. So
to me, the only way I can see it acceptable, because now Paul Heyman is with Roman. So the only way I see it possible is if you keep him away from Bobby and you get him involved with Roman. Now, if you ask me about Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, I see that happening 100% due to the fact that Paul Heyman is now with Roman Reigns. That could be a story. Brock comes back. Paul, what the fuck, dude? Thought you was my boy. Fuck you and Roman. I'm coming for the belt. I'm cool with that.
I did not think of that scenario. That's actually like another. I did not think of that scenario. Because that's the thing that because I was having this conversation with John. And I was telling him, like, yo, like, you know, I was asking him the same shit, basically, because, you know, that's something that I've been predicting. I feel like we're going to get, like, Bobby and Brock at WrestleMania and shit. It will make sense. You know, they have, like, some similar backgrounds, you know, amateur backgrounds.
Yeah.
But, damn, I didn't paint that scenario because I was thinking, like, yo, how would we do it, though? Like, Brock would just come back rogue without Paul Heyman because now he's with Roman, of course. So, but then, yeah, I didn't think about that scenario, too. That could be, like, another story right there.
Yeah, and that I'm okay with because even though I've never been the most avid Roman Reigns fan, him turning heel with Paul Heyman is absolute genius, okay? Of course, fake teeth and all. It is absolute genius.
I'm like a horse, bro. Like, what the fuck?
It is genius. I love it. I love Paul Heyman. I've always loved Paul Heyman. And, the one thing that I don't like about Roman's character right now is the way that they're using Jay. A lot of Jay's segments are really cringe, like really cringe. Like when he gets upset and then like he's yelling at the other person that's trying to intimidate Roman Reigns, like when he was doing the thing with Daniel Bryan, and you know, like when he's yelling at, you know, like he grabs the mic and he's like, "Yeah, you already know who it be. I am Uso. Da 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 da. I, you know, show me some respect, huh?" And talking all gangster and shit. That's cool because your character when you came back was to be gangster like that. You know, they came back with grills and they wore hoodies, they lost weight. I'm all for it. I like it. But as of recent, like if you watch like segments and promos with them together and Jay comes out and like talks on the mic by himself or intervenes in the conversation, like the dialogue is real cringy, like it's being forced almost to an extent. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
And I understand why they're doing that because obviously Roman is the, you know, quote unquote head of the table. He is like the boss. He's the head honcho. And you know, everybody below the head honcho was kind of like, you know, like a do-boy. You know what I'm saying? He's basically like a do-boy.
Yeah.
You know, so I understand why they're doing it for Roman's character, but I just wish that they would like ease up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't make it don't push it too hard to where we're like, okay, we get it. Jey Uso is the bitch of the group and he listens to Roman or he's gonna get his ass beat. But what I do think is, and this is a far, far, far stretch. This is a reach, like a whole reach around in the shower. Like it's kind of far. I do believe that they might set up another underdog story to where Jay has enough of Roman and beats Roman for the belt.
I could see that.
Yeah, but sure. That's a far fucking reach because as an individual, as a wrestler, Jay and Jim, they're phenomenal wrestlers. Jay wrestles better than Roman at this point. I just don't know if he'll be at the caliber as a world champion as Roman. But that obviously comes in time. You know, you have to win the first one to be able to, you know, understand and gel into that character as a world heavyweight champion. So even if they do give him the opportunity, which will be phenomenal, because he is a hell of a wrestler. He has a hell of a character. He has the looks. It's just like you're looking in the mirror. It's like Roman Reigns with long hair. Oh, well, they both have long hair. But like it's basically the same thing, but it's just somebody else. But the whole underdog story, maybe like down the line, if Roman does keep the belt after WrestleMania, and Jay is just like, yo, I had enough of this shit, and another underdog story, and like I'm coming for the belt, I'm down with that too. But
yeah.
But I do have it's the more I think about it, it's 50-50. I think Vince is gonna call Brock and he's gonna be like, "Hey, we're gonna book you for WrestleMania, and you're gonna be fighting Roman Reigns, and there's gonna be some type of little story for about a month or so to build up for it, to where you're getting your revenge on Paul Heyman." But if they do bring Brock back, I believe that Brock does not win. I think he will lose. I think
that's what I'm hoping. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah,
like if
he should,
do it that
he
way.
Should. But we're talking about Vince here, and Vince be doing some outlandish shit. You know, the man is fucking 85, yeah. And he does kind of, you know, he does mess up sometimes, but he should lose. But I mean, that, like I said, that's neither here or there. But because if not, I think the only one that's fighting for the belt that's causing drama right now is him and Daniel Bryan, and I don't know if they're going to be setting up something for Daniel Bryan. Which would be cool too, because Daniel Bryan's characters, I've always loved Daniel Bryan ever since Ring of Honor days. So either way, it's cool. Yep. But Brock Lesnar coming back, it's 50-50 for me right now. I think the more closer we get, if we get to maybe like 2 weeks before WrestleMania, I don't even know when WrestleMania is. It's in April, right? I think.
April, yeah, beginning of April. I think April 11 and 12. I think. Like, I could be wrong on that, but some shit like that.
Yeah, let me see if I can pull it up real quick. Because if we get to like 2 weeks before WrestleMania and there's nothing of Brock Lesnar, I don't think he's coming. Mm-hmm. It is April. It's 2 days. The fuck?
Yeah, because you remember how they did that shit last year, the two nights? They're doing that shit again.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing the same thing. And it's going to be in the same arena and everything. It's fucking crazy, bro. I was telling John this shit too. I think this is the first WrestleMania where it's gonna be headlined in a place where the Super Bowl was headlined in the same year. It's kind of wild if you think about it.
Yeah, they're doing it in Tampa. Yeah, that's crazy. So April 10th, what are we on, the 20th? That's 1, 2, 3. That's about a month away.
Yeah.
So it's about a month. Yeah. If we don't see Brock or hear anything about Brock next week, I don't think he's coming. And it's probably I haven't watched SmackDown. It's probably going to be him and Daniel Bryan. But I would tell you this though. I think Fastlane is this Sunday. I believe. I don't quote me here, but I believe with every pinky toe on my body that that Bray Wyatt will return tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too, man. I think Fastlane, if any place is going to happen some shit like that, like a return, is going to be for sure on Fastlane.
It has to be, because at Fastlane, it's going to be about either close to or just at a month before WrestleMania, and The Fiend definitely needs to come back before WrestleMania to just you know, the whole thing with Randy Orton and Alexa Bliss is golden too. I love that whole scheme.
I loved it. Hell yeah.
It's getting better even now. Like Randy Orton is throwing up the black shit. Like it's really getting good. Like I really like the whole the whole scheme they got going on, you know. So I honestly believe tomorrow he's gonna make an appearance. I wanna say that there's gonna be something really, really different about him. Not on the side of physical features. Not saying that he's gonna be jacked or he's gonna lose weight or anything like that. But the mask that we see now, I think, is gonna be something different. I don't know if it's something that he could take off to reveal the mask that we're used to, but there's gonna be something altered on The Fiend. Obviously, he was burned on TV. Like, he was burned. That shit was crazy too. I don't know if you remember that. They burned this man on Monday Night Raw. That, like,
fireball.
Yeah, this was on.
Oh, no. Oh, you're talking about Bray Wyatt. I thought you were talking about Randy.
No, I'm talking about Bray. This man burned him on TV. Yeah. On TV, bro.
He's on fire.
Why don't they cancel WWE? You see that shit, bro? They burning a fucking man.
They burned a man on TV, but I think that's because of that. I think something's gonna be altered on The Fiend, which I'm cool with. But I hope to God they don't change his mask entirely. They already changed it twice, but I hope they don't change it again. But there's gonna be something that I think there's gonna be something over the mask. Let it be like a face shield or some type of covering or something like that, to where he takes it off. And I think that there's gonna be something different about The Fiend. Obviously, the man just got burned. Something has to be different, you know. Let it be different. Let it be a different outfit, or maybe some type of altercation with the mask, but nothing too drastic. I don't want to be like a totally completely mask. What would be dope though, I had this conversation with my boy. What would be dope though, the original Fiend mask is white or like a tan, you know, it's like a white tannish. If he came back and the mask was black. Same mask,
that would be hard.
But black, like it was burnt. That shit would be golden. Ooh. That shit, yo, that'd WWE, sign me up, bro. Sign me up. Sign me up, bro.
We gotta book this shit, bro. We gotta be the new bookers. Fucking WWE booking.
Man, I turn WWE upside down. I have a million people watching that shit every fucking week, man. I'll be, man, come on. They just let Randy Orton. They just let Randy Orton RKO bitches like last year. Let Randy Orton just kill everybody. I don't give a damn.
Hell yeah.
But but yeah. So let's close things out with the. I don't have a jingle for this. Yeah, I don't have.
We'll get one.
Yeah, I'll make some. I'll get like some cheesy fucking song for this. For this segment, but yeah, let's see. I had asked you to write down some questions to ask the podcaster, which would be me. So shoot away, man. What you got?
Okay. Yeah, man. I did my best with these questions, man. So don't judge me with some of the shit that I picked, but I think it was pretty dope. Okay. It's pretty interesting ones.
All right.
Put you on the hot seat a little bit, you know. let's see here. So this is a basic ass question too, but so the first one is, what's something that people seem to misunderstand about Big Ant?
Yeah, that is a good one. What is one thing that people seem to misunderstand about Big Ant? I don't know if this is a classification, but I would say it's personality / seriousness. Like I stated before, I am a king troller. I like to push people's buttons. I like to engage in erratical conversations. Let it be like, I just posted yesterday that I think Prince is better than Michael Jackson, and everybody lost their fucking mind. I like to do shit like that. And, you know, I like to press people's buttons. And there is sometimes people that read my posts or see what I talk about, and they message me IG, Facebook or something. Mm-hmm. And they'll ask me like dead ass, like, are you serious? And like, you know, then go on about, you know, how they feel about the situation or whatever the case may be. And some people actually, you know, they defriend me, they unfriend me, they don't follow me, they block me, whatever. And that's cool because I'm 34 years old. I don't need to hold anybody's hand. I don't need any friends, you know. So there is a fine line, and it's very fine. It's very, I'm talking about fishing line thin, between how serious I am and my humor side and what I like to joke about and what I like to tease about, because like I said, I love trolling. It's very, very fun to piss people off, you know, in the right way. I don't do it maliciously. I'm not on there saying that, you know, some, you know, racist unequality bullshit, like this person is better than that person. You know, none of that. It's really just what I call it. It's just trolling, you know. Even though I do think Prince is still better than Michael Jackson. But
we gotta talk about that too.
Stupid. But I think it would be my personality. If you don't know me, and from the outside you're like, yo, this guy is an arrogant asshole. Like, he's just an arrogant asshole. And but once you get to know me, you know my humor side. I'm very playful, and I just like to say shit and talk shit. You know, it's hilarious to me that some people will actually sit there and take their time out of day to rebuttal and argue with me over something simple as LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan. You know what I'm saying? Or Scorpion was always better than Sub-Zero. Or, you know, Ken is better than Ryu. Or Vegeta is the best character in Dragon Ball Z. Or Sasuke is better than Naruto. You know, that we'll have these conversations, you know. Damn. And a lot of people tend to think that I say that just to piss people off, or that I'm going against the grain and always picking something that's not heavily biased or not heavily liked upon the masses. And sometimes it's true. Sometimes it's very true. Mm-hmm. Like the whole LeBron James and Michael Jordan topic, I sincerely, honestly think when LeBron James is done playing, which is probably not for another 8 to 10 years, because the guy is a fucking machine, he's going to be better. He's going to be better than Michael Jordan and the best basketball player that we've ever seen. And that's how I feel.
Right.
And then sometimes I will pull people's tails, and I will talk shit about, you know, the most random things, you know, let it be like, you know, something as stupid, like I said, as, you know, Sasuke is better than Naruto in, you know, Naruto series, or what's his name? I forgot the man's name in My Hero. What's his name?
Damn, I will help you out, but I don't even know, bro.
I can't remember his name. The new number one hero, Endeavor. yeah, Endeavor, who is Tokugiri's dad, who took All Might's spot. I think he's a better character than Almighty. And a lot of people are like, bro, you're fucking crazy. And I'm like, no, I'm just letting you know how I feel. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, it's a little outlandish because All Might is fucking godlike. And he's one of my favorite characters out of the whole entire show. And that's another thing, too. Like, you know, Deku is like Goku and Bakugo is like Vegeta. And I love Bakugo over everybody in that TV series. Same thing with Dragon Ball Z. Vegeta is my favorite character. And Goku's everybody's favorite. And I'm like, yo, Vegeta is better than Goku. Like, hands down, all the way. He's got a better wife. His kids are way better. He's got better finishers. And he's just a badass. You know, he's not like a goody two shoes like Goku is. Like, this man is the shit. So, but personality and my humor side, I think a lot of people misunderstand that sometimes I'm serious, sometimes I'm just here to just piss you off, and that's just how I operate.
Dope. Yeah, it's a dope response, man. I like it. So that's what's up, man. All right, let me see what else I got here. Next question. And again, bro, don't laugh at me. This shit might be basic as hell.
It's all right.
But look, who are three people who have been like the most influential to you? And I don't mean like people that you personally know. I mean like actually like people that we see in the media, whether it's music or artists. It could be somebody that, you know, it's like known.
Okay, so people of stature, I mean, not just necessarily family. Okay.
Yeah.
Three people. Okay,
had to pick.
If I had to pick, no particular order, but first up, I would say Nas. Back in my rapping career, was very, very influential. His music played a very important part of me being an inspiration or an inspiring rapper way back in the day. And he's made some of the best music that I still bump to this day. Shout outs to him too. He finally won a fucking Grammy. It took him like 30 years, but he finally won a Grammy.
Great moment.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, now I know he can sleep at night. And because the thing is with him, he's been nominated a lot. He's been nominated, I think, like I was reading an article, I think like 13 or 14 times he was nominated, and he has not won up until now. Up until King's Disease, he hasn't won anything. So
yeah, it's like the equivalent, like how Leo is with the fucking with the Oscars.
Oh, remember? Yeah. Leo was like, like, it's that big for him. Yeah,
man.
So I would put him up there just strictly on his music and being who he is, being just a major influence on who I wanted to be when I was rapping. Because when I was growing up, I was really conscious. I was transparent. I was into the storytelling. I wasn't into club music and making, you know, music about girls and everything, cars and shit like that. So I was real transparent. I talked about my life and everything like that. And Nas is one of the best, if not the best, storyteller to ever grace the mic. So I definitely would put him in that top three as far as, you know, being a musical inspiration.
I like it.
Up next, I would put this is good.
No, it's just kind
of, yeah, because there's so many people. I think up next I would put, it's gonna be a combination of the two Joes, Joe Rogan and Joe Budden. One of the two most podcasts that I listen to currently and as of recently, before I started making the podcast, being able to evolve and change your career, your life career, to do podcasting and become successful in something that you didn't know anything about is very inspirational, because Joe has touched, Rogan has touched everything from TV, co-hosting Fear Factor, doing stuff for the UFC, and being a commentator. He's done a lot of stuff, and then he turns around and opens up a podcast, and he is the biggest podcaster in the world. And that is mind-boggling to me, that you can just be able to jump to almost every type of different field of work and genre of work, and then to end up doing a podcast and it being the best podcast basically in the world is mind-boggling to me. And you started out co-hosting Fear Factor on TV. Like, you know what I'm saying? Also, he's a comedian. And he's also he's touched all of these bases, and then to do something as, you know, big as that, like, you know what I'm saying, like, podcasting is huge, and
to be
regarded as one of the best and one of the biggest podcasting or podcasters in the world is crazy. And it's Joe Rogan, out of all people. You would never have thought it would be Joe Rogan, out of all people. And then I was skeptic at first, but when I sat down and actually listened to a couple of his episodes, I'm like, yo, this dude can carry a conversation. Like, you can enjoy his guests. You can enjoy his topics. He's cool as fuck. If you watch his videos on YouTube or wherever, when he's recording these sessions, he's smoking weed. He's chilling with his friends. You know, he's doing his he's doing what we want to do, which is vibe out. And it's great content.
I love it, man.
Yeah, and same thing with Joe Budden. Joe Budden has been the homie for a long time, you know, especially with his music. In his early in his earlier career, you know, all of his mood music mixtapes played very heavy into me growing up. He's very emotional, very transparent storytelling MC as well. A lot of his music played a part growing up, you know, going through depressing times, you know, losing family members or a significant other, like a girlfriend or something. He has music for all type of genres of how you feel, of emotions. And then for him to do the same thing, you know, a rapper said, fuck it, I'm going to start doing podcasting. He got his homeboys with him. He's got Parks with him. Yep. And it's damn near one of the best podcasts, you know, on every platform. He's got a huge following, and the content that he makes is fucking amazing. You know, it's more modern, more urbanized than Joe Rogan's, and you know it fits his dialogue as the character that he is, and the stuff that he covers is even more better because, you know, I'm a rapper, was an aspiring rapper, so when he does music takes on his podcast, which is a lot, I can honestly say I dig that shit. So if I want like the cool outside life stories, I'll hit up Joe Rogan. And then when I want some music or current hip hop themes or news today, I holler at Budden. You know what I'm saying? So I split it up, but it will be both those Joes at number two. So I got Nas, Budden's, and Rogan. For the third, who am I going to put here? To close it out, inspirational. Yeah.
It could be like a historical figure too, like somebody, you know, like way back when.
Okay. Damn, this is good. There's just so fucking many. Jesus, who would I put there?
Remember, it's just top three. It's not necessarily like everybody, you know. We don't have a lot of.
I know. Okay, we got Nas, the two Joes, and to round it out, the most inspirational, I would have to put. Damn. I'm trying to think of one more. I think I would put. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and put. Since we already talked about him earlier, I'm going to put LeBron James.
Okay.
And
I like that.
And the reason why, I think, is the amount of shit people talk about this guy
here.
Is absurdly insane. And he continues to do his job. He continues to put up numbers. He continues to break records. He continues to set records and win games and championships and et cetera, et cetera. But he's very inspirational because of the stuff that he does off the courts too, which I think a lot of people underline. Stuff he does for the community, stuff he did for Cleveland, stuff he does for, you know, Los Angeles, let it be, you know, helping the poor or opening up schools, aftercare programs, you name it. He's done a shitload of stuff for the masses. And I believe that's dope. Somebody that can always get to that highest statue, that pedestal of being content where you are, doing what you love, and also making a humongous paycheck. Being able to give that back to the world and to the communities that helped raise, you know, you and future potential, you know, great people as of, you know, it could be, you know, in sports or, you know, medicine, the doctor field, you know, dentist, a fisherman. I don't care what it is. But he's also showing people that I care. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can get to this statue and we can you know, we can still give to the normal. I don't want to use normal, but give to the society. You know, give back to you guys that help put me here. You know, we buy your jerseys, we buy your tickets to go see you. We watch you on TV. That all adds revenue to you, comes back to you. And you know, I'm here giving it to y'all. So being able to take all the shit that's thrown at him, you know, MJ's better than you, you're a crybaby, you know, you flop too much and your hairline this and Delonte fucked your mama and shit, you know. Stupid. But and he just continues to shine and do his thing, and he's one of my favorite basketball players next to Dwayne Wade, obviously. Being from Miami, but just being an inspiration on and off the court is what really makes me admire him a lot. And like I said, he just does way too much that goes under people's radar, and they just need to throw a little bit of respect on my dog. You know what I'm saying? Just a little bit of respect on my dog. But I'd put LeBron James there.
Yeah, damn, that's dope, man. It's like well-rounded answers. I like everything that you said.
Yeah,
dope.
a little bit of everything that that kind of was involved in my life.
Yeah, sports, music, and then just like, you know, just the space that we do, like the podcasting thing. So it's like, it's dope. I like it.
Thank you.
Dope shit, man.
Thank you. So you got any more?
Yeah, the last one, you know, I just wanted to close it out with this one. You know, this is a little bit on the deep side, but you know what I'm saying?
Ooh, let's go. I'm ready. Let's go. I'm ready.
All right. So let's just say, you know, and this is like a, I guess you could say like a fantasy type of shit, but...
Mm.
If, you know, let's just say we were in a scenario where like they gave like Big Ant the power in the world to kind of like do something like to change the world, like what would be like that one thing that you do that you, like that's gonna be make the world a better place, like if you got that power for like just one day?
Well,
I know it's like a heavy one, but
not even that. There's a lot of shit I would do.
But you can only choose one. Like, you know, there's only like, that's your only opportunity. Like it's one thing, one and done, like one thing, and it's going to change, impact humanity. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. If I had the power for one day to do anything to help the world, the society, I think it would be to put every... I'm gonna try to put every homeless person in a house.
Oh, that's a good one.
I want to be able to make... I don't want to say make, but I want to be able to give to the people that don't have a house to go to. But I'm not just making houses or communities or whatever to put these people in. Like, this is going to be their house. It's paid for. Everything, you don't have to worry about nothing. Let it be 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom, whatever the hell it is that we build it. If you got a family of 8, we're going to build you a damn 5-bedroom mansion. You know what I'm saying? If it's just you and your wife, we'll get you a 2-bedroom mansion. But what I'm saying is I would make available to as many people as I could a home to come home to, or to at least have a home or a roof over your head. And since I have the power incorporating that, they wouldn't have to pay anything on the house or in the house, because the house is going to be theirs. Yeah. But obviously you'd have to pay mortgage and shit like that, or bills.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
Or bills. Everything that's included in the house will be paid up to for a year. So you have enough time to recorrect your mistakes or bounce back on your feet and not have to worry about the AC, the water, the, you know, the lights or the food or anything like that. So everything's going to be already set in stone. All you have to do is sign the papers and walk into your new house. And I would try to do that to as many people in every state, even in countries that are not related to us. And just try to do the most to where I can put all the homeless people in a house and give them some type of security and give them it's motivation. The most what I'm looking for is motivation to bounce back on your feet. Like I got the biggest thing off of my checklist, off my bucket list, a place to stay. I don't have to beg and ask people to stay somewhere. I don't have to sleep in my car. I don't have to go under a bridge, et cetera, et cetera. I can go home now. And then you have a whole year to bounce back, find a job, stack some money up. You know, you're not paying for anything for a year, so you can stack a lot of bread and just yeah. You know, just bounce back and get back to who you used to be. Because you know, small story, there's a lot of homeless people I helped out in the past, and there's been a handful of them that I actually sat and talked to, and you'd be surprised about how many of these people actually have interesting lives. You know, I've come across I come across a dude who used to be a PE teacher. I came across a guy who used to be in the Army. I came across a guy who used to work for impact window company. And you know, they just tell you these stories, man. It's like, you know, and the only thing that you hear that they have in common is that they lost something. You know, one guy tells me he's lost his family. The one guy says he lost his wife. The one guy says he lost his house. He lost his car. He doesn't have anything. The one thing they have in common is that they lost something. So if I had the ability and the power for a day to just make a massive change, it would have put into effect that I could try to make as many houses for the homeless that I could and just get them into a crib.
Damn. That's heavy, bro. Holy shit. Deep, bro. Hell yeah. I like that shit. God damn, bro. This is all natural for Big M, bro. All the answers are good ass fucking answers.
Y'all already know. I want to pat myself on the back. I am that dude.
That's why you're a podcaster, bro. It's just, you know what I'm saying?
Y'all already know, man. Y'all already know. So, with that being said, that was an excellent array of questions. So to add on to the Ask a Podcaster segment being brought to you by Jam himself, we'll be trying to incorporate these more with future guests in the podcast. So make sure you look out for that. But more importantly, we're at the end of the podcast. My dogs are going crazy. We're at the end of the podcast. So you guys already know what happens at the end of the podcast. I got to hit you guys with the respect button. Thank you. Thank everybody who made it this far in the podcast. You guys are much appreciated. Like I said, if you're new, we appreciate you. You've been rocking with us. We appreciate you even more. Now is your time to talk your shit, Jam. If you want to give anybody a shout out, where they can follow you at, where they can listen to the Splits podcast. Again, shout out to John. He's not here, but he's here with us in spirit. So if you want to give anybody a shout out, let them know where they can find you at.
Yeah, man. I mean, honestly, man, just shout out to everybody, you know, like, but with this crazy world, bro, it's just, you know, just you gotta show love, man, you know, more unity in this shit. So just a shout out to the world, you know what I'm saying? We gotta be positive out here, you know? Not COVID positive, but we just gotta be positive. but just straight up, you know, it's always fun, man. I always appreciate, you know, when you ask me to do these things with you. I'm always looking forward to it, and you already know the door is always welcome for you as well. So yeah, man, check out my podcast, the Splits Podcast. You know, just type that in. We also have our IG page going. My personal account is IBJAM. It's really easy, IBEJAM. So check me out. And we're gonna keep trying to get better and better as we go along.
big bet. All right, man. Like I said, I appreciate you stopping by, man. Like you said, it's always been a pleasure, man. Y'all guys already know you guys have a spot on the podcast. We'll try to get John on here maybe soon. Maybe I got a couple guests for next week. I'm gonna try to get him on soon after that, so we can talk shit. I got a lot of shit to talk about with that motherfucker there. Holy shit.
But I gotta hear that shit.
Yeah, man. So I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you guys stopping by. I appreciate you, Jan, stopping by again. If you guys already know, the podcast is available on all platforms now. It ain't hard to find me. I'm on every platform. I'm on Amazon, Podbean, Apple, Spotify. What else I got? Pandora, iHeartRadio. I'm on every platform now. So there's no excuses. Just search me up. I'm basically the only active The Can I Kick It podcast. You guys already know all my information is on my podcast website. If you like the music, shout out to Ricey K, shout out to Marcus D. You guys already know all my info is on my podcast website. But that being said, we out this bitch.
Yep.